to kind of see how we've gotten to where we've gotten in certain of the newer cases. Because again, if we're talking about important cases, these types of cases tend to evolve over time as time has gone on. And also, so we also had to figure out what kind of parameter would we set on this. What exactly what qualifies as an old or older case? And we just sort of arbitrarily decided, well, we picked about a 10-year limit. If it was within 10 years from today's date, we thought that's probably a newer case as opposed to an old case. There's no rhyme or reason to that, but at least that gave us some method to our madness in terms of selecting a smattering of cases to put into the materials. And just so you know, obviously, we're not going to try to get through all the cases that are in the materials. We just tried to, again, pick a number of different topic areas to just remind folks, here are some cases to have in your toolkit, or things to look back on if you have a particularly contested matter in a particular area, just to, again, get a frame of reference of how the cases have evolved when you're looking at the newer cases. So we're just going to hit on some of the areas that we found interesting, we thought you would find interesting. So to kick it off, Judge Rhodes, how about a little bit about our evolution in older cases on jurisdictional concepts?
I'm not promising y'all this is going to be interesting because I'm just a federal state distinction nerd. And I really like civil procedure and all those kinds of things. Again, I was a nerd, but that's just kind of, that's the way I roll. So this was something I found interesting. And also, I think my goal was that for those of you who've been practicing for a while, to give you a little reminder about things. And for those of you who haven't, give you a few cases that you might want to take home to put in your quiver to be used sometime in the future, right? So, in that context, let's talk a little bit about federal versus state courts. So, we all know that from, you know, first year law school days, federal courts are courts of limited jurisdiction. State courts are generally courts of general jurisdiction. And because federal courts are courts of limited jurisdiction, we look at statutory authorization for the court's jurisdiction, right? So generally, when we're talking about federal courts, trial courts, we're looking at federal question jurisdiction, and we're looking at diversity jurisdiction. And then, of course, we have bankruptcy jurisdiction. Those are the three primary statutes that we work with on a day-to-day basis. Having said that, you know, there are some jurisdictional issues that have been developed by case law to acknowledge how federal courts work with state courts. So in that context, we included the Rooker and Feldman cases in your materials, and from which the quote-unquote Rooker-Feldman doctrine has been created. So what are we talking about when we're talking about Rooker-Feldman? What we're talking about is a situation where state courts have ruled on state law matters. Gee whiz, a judgment has been rendered. Under what circumstances should federal courts revisit those issues? So Rooker-Feldman basically tells us that as a general matter, federal courts, including bankruptcy courts, cannot sit as an appellate court of state law decisions. When there's a state court decision, you have to go to the state appellate system, and the only federal court that reviews that is the U.S. Supreme Court. So you go up the state court food chain, go up to the state Supreme Court or the highest court that would hear your matter, and then to state and then to federal courts. So what are the elements that we're looking at when we're talking about federal, looking at the Rooker-Feldman doctrine? What we're talking about is when there is a judgment or a final judgment that has been rendered by a state court having jurisdiction both of the subject matter and the parties, there's no federal court other than the U.S. Supreme Court that may entertain a proceeding to reverse or modify that judgment. So what does that mean in the bankruptcy context? How many times have we had cases filed where counsel has asked the bankruptcy judge to revisit the judgments of the state court in litigation? So debtors wait until they lose. They go to trial court, state court, and they lose. Then they run to the bankruptcy court, and then they object to the claim and say, gee, judge, this is now a claims objection, and now you got to revisit all these issues.